All right. So you're listening to Dreamers by Design. I'm Michael Melvin.
This is Tony Wagner.
And today's topic, we're about to drop into our topic. You have a dream. Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to do? So we're going to discuss that. Tony and I are sitting here, and we got some questions on the table. I'll let you take lead, Tony.
So first question, and I'll ask you the question. Describe the dream that you had that propelled you into your present. So when you started your Michael Melvin films, you had the concept. What was your first step that you took to actually get to where you are now?
My business plan.
Got it.
I sat down, I bought a business plan software, because the first thing I heard is most businesses fail because they have no plan. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, on a spiritual sense, if you have a vision, write it down, make it plain. Mm-hmm. Bam, you know what direction you're going into. And so I wrote a business plan, but I had an outline. Also, I had a paper, a checklist. So I knew what I was going to do, when I was going to do it, had my dates, my schedule. And on top of that, I had milestones. So if I said, okay, I'm going to shoot this short film over here. All right, when I've done that, I need to find a client to shoot a video for. So I got this industrial video over here. And then another person calls me and says, hey, can you do a conference? Okay, I'll do that over here. And then I just started getting more and more. But I do, like for me, I said, okay, I want to be an independent filmmaker. So what do I need to do? So it's like the year is 2004. I lost my job, by the way.
Right.
Sorry. Well, right after that. And I said, I'm going to do a feature film. Because the same amount of money that you take to do a short might just take to do a feature. So I did a feature. And my first short got into a film festival. Right. And I said, I wonder if I can get another one to a film festival. Well, the feature gets into 5 film festivals.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. This is a sign. I can do it. Is it the best film out there? No. I made a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But the key to building a business or anything is learn from the mistakes.
Absolutely.
But because I had a plan, I wrote it down. Because even with a film, you got to write a script. You got to schedule your shooting days. You got to hire your actors and cast the people. And you got to get your sound people and all this stuff. And in that, most, like any entrepreneur in the very beginning, you cut corners.
Right.
Because there are several reasons you cut corners. One, you don't have the money.
Right.
Two, you don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
Three, you don't have somebody around you to guide you, especially if it's no one around you does it. Mm-hmm. And those were the 3 mistakes I even made. I cut corners because I didn't have a lot of money. And the important thing is I needed the guidance.
Right.
You know, like a mentor. Yeah. Someone I can talk to, and even on every level, just to be a business owner, to have another business owner be your mentor.
Right.
And then as a filmmaker, to have filmmakers as your mentor.
Right.
And you choose somebody who's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how my dream came and the plan of writing. So that's the first step, is write the plan. What about you?
Mine is a little bit more chaotic than all right. that. I'm always writing things down, mm-hmm. but I don't keep it in a central location. It's in one notebook this month and next month. But the actual idea translate, it's the same thing. And I used to write things like, I want to make $1 billion. I want to be a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I guess it was around 2013. I said, I'm going to do 5 years in fitness, 10 years in real estate. The rest of my life, I'm going to be a hedge fund manager. So I wrote this down, put it in a notebook. I know you hear this all the time. True story. Put it in a notebook. Forgot about the notebook.
Okay.
My fitness business was doing, I guess you would say, relatively good. $75,000 a year me by myself, no marketing. It's okay.
Right.
It started to go away. Like clients just start dropping off. Like my major clients just start dropping off. And it start to dwindle like 40. I can't live off 40. And it's crazy. I ran across the notebook. It was at the end, toward the end of the fifth year.
Okay.
So what I wrote, and then I transitioned into real estate. What I wrote down actually manifested. Like, truth is crazy. And the transition went straight from fitness into real estate. And I said I was going to do 10 years in real estate and then the rest in hedge fund. At this point, it's probably going to be real estate all the way through.
Right.
Because things change and so do my desires. And the person that I'm with is in that same field. So I can see where a solid foundation is. Mm-hmm. But the desire and the design, they actually formulate. It's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And mm-hmm. that has been true all of my life. When I was in fitness, I had somebody show up to show me how to do it the right way. When I transition into real estate, I can pick up the phone and call somebody just about in every aspect of real estate and have a direct connection to that individual. At this point, where I am is really blueprinting exactly what I'm going to do. Because what I've learned in the past is when I focus, I don't fail.
Okay.
I've never failed at anything that I focused on. Now, I fail when my mind is all over the place and I see this and I want to do that and I see somebody doing that and I want to do that. That's when I fail. But when I focus, I don't fail. I'm not special. When human beings focus, they don't fail. The thing is, we don't blueprint out what we want and then make it manifest in the world. We just all over. I would say, venture to say 75% of the people that's on the earth is floating through life. No plan, no strategy, no dreams, no desires. They just here. Let's take them away. People who do have desires, a lot of them, including myself at this point, know where I'm going, but I haven't blueprinted it out all because there's so many different aspects of real estate. And I'm so involved in so many pieces that I haven't just said, this is the one. And my mm-hmm. girl tell me all of the time, which one are we going to do? Because I'll say we're going to invest in real estate. We're going to create a real estate team. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Which one are we going to do? And I've been successful, really not even laser focused. Right. Now, I'm in the tree. I won't go out and do something that's not pertaining to real estate at this point. Because my tree is real estate. But my tree have different branches. I need to find out which branch I'm going to hang on to. But when I do that, mm-hmm. when I decide, it's over. Plain, I just got to get my mind on one thing. But whenever I decide, whenever you decide, it's over. Anybody who have a desire, when you decide, it's something about, people call it the universe or God or whatever you want to call it. When you make up your mind and truly design what it is that you want to do.
Right.
And wake up the next day and put your feet to the concrete. Just keep, it's almost like Mario Brothers. You'll turn on Mario Brothers and do, do.
Yeah.
And the coins are already there. You just got to hit the forward button on the joystick. And you go. Here go crazy thing about Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brick. And when you jump up, it looked like you bump your head on the brick like you made a mistake. But out of that brick come another life.
Right.
That's real life. You go through life and you bump your head. But that experience gives you something extra for your journey. So when you think it's over, mm-hmm. that experience when you bump your head actually gave you more time and gave you more life. That it's the same thing, but you got to decide. And once you get on that straight and narrow, all of the rest of the stuff already there. It's the coins are already in, it, there. You just have to hit the forward button. And a lot of times we blow the cartridge, put it in, turn it on, but we don't grab the joystick and hit the forward button.
And the funny thing is you're talking about a game that's built around dealing with obstacles to ultimately get where your goal is.
Right.
To get to reach us, each one's a milestone, right? You get every level is a milestone. So when you beat that level, you've passed the milestone, but that prepared you for the next challenge. And so we really could say life in itself is a video game. So y'all need to stop playing Fortnite and start getting your own businesses. All right. But that's how I look at things but I look at failure as necessary. There's a saying, the most successful people have the greatest numbers of failures, because failure teaches you.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I find with some people is they don't want to, like we talked about earlier, I learned from my failure. I should have had more business. I shouldn't have been complacent with the money. So what do I do now? Don't get complacent. It doesn't stop. Next gig, next gig, next gig. Keep that money coming in, flowing. And, find different ways to advance yourself. But what happens is I see people give up. They fail. They go, oh, I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I don't know. And you got 50 million motivational speakers out there, people to tell you, everybody has the same hours in a day. And what changes it is the mindset. It is so very important. It's mindset. I'm part of planning and developing, designing your dream is mindset. Analyze. First, you got to analyze yourself. Am I prepared? Am I ready? I know people afraid of success because they don't know what they'll become when they're successful.
Right.
But it's like, you got to store it up. You're not doing it just for you. You have to have a greater purpose than yourself. Like I deem as, and then you have to define what success is too. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at my success as I'm able to share what I do and go after my dreams and show other people they can achieve their dreams. Like that's successful to me. Am I making millions of dollars? No. If I made $1 million, great. That's awesome. That's nice. I would enjoy it. But I enjoy it more doing what I love doing and making a living at it because then I'm living the life I've chosen, not what someone else has chosen for me or for the lack of making a decision for myself.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. So who was your greatest inspiration?
I was about to ask you that. my greatest inspiration? People. I was thinking about this morning. Here's a crazy thing. Some people look at other people as competition. They measure themselves by other people, right? And they're like, well, he's, now, because it's Jay-Z just became the first billionaire rapper. I thought LL Cool J had money too, but
right.
Jay-Z, right?
Right.
And then you got positive and you got negative people talking.
Yeah.
Right? But what I say to a kid, all right, Jay-Z made $1 million. Every kid's going to be like, I can do it. Okay. But what did he do? See, right. Now I like looking at people's process,
mm-hmm.
right? What did this man do to get there?
Mm-hmm.
What did Oprah do to get there? Steve Jobs, what did these people do to get there? How am I different? They're not my competition. I look at other filmmakers and it's unfortunate because I see other people as competition. Like I'm a filmmaker. Oh, me too. And then they start. Yeah. I can't tell you none. I can't. Why? You're gonna steal my ideas. And everybody's made a movie. Romeo and Juliet the story of Romeo and Juliet has been done so many times. The hero's journey story arc has been done so many times.
Right.
I tell people I love telling stories. But I want to tell more realistic stories, stories people can connect to mm-hmm. and have an understanding, but also educate them and help them see and reflect inward and then reflect outward to make a movement, right?
Right.
But if I see everybody as competition, I'm going to burn myself out. You are going to be afraid to step out because when I run my race, I have tunnel vision. I'm trying to beat my last. You're only as good as your last project. You're only as good as your last, the last seconds you ran.
Right.
Can you beat that?
Right.
And So I'm inspired by everybody.
Yeah.
The good and the bad. I like listening to people, what mistakes they made. I can learn from that because then I don't have to make those mistakes. I like being around people who've done it. Then you surround yourself with the right people. Mm-hmm. And so that I'm influenced to do better. I'd rather not be in competition, but learn. Because another filmmaker can show me a different style. Be like, man, I never thought about doing like that. Yeah, man. And then I can incorporate into who I am.
Right.
And then develop more. It's like music. You get somebody hanging out with Prince, somebody hanging out with Michael. You got somebody hanging out. And then all of a sudden, the styles start. You start creating your own. And you start coming into your own. So right. It's not that you're, it's, I can see healthy competition,
yeah.
You know, to help build you and improve you.
Yeah.
But to look at people as, no, I can't do that. I believe that we're social. I believe you got to build a team. You got to connect with people. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Real yeah. quick. Yeah. I mean, do this drop. Hi, I'm Michael Melvin. You listen to Dreamers by Design and you're watching a podcast on Facebook.
This is Tony Wagner. And I'm here assisting.
Nah, Tony's the co-host, y'all. So tell me about you. What was your, who's your greatest inspiration?
I mean, I can't even put my finger on a person. Okay. I grew up in a neighborhood that had inspiration. I guess you can call it negative inspiration, but that actually let me know that the things that I wanted were possible. Now, different from you, I want a lot of money. Like, I mean, because for me, that's my potential's barometer. Like, that's how I keep track. So my greatest desire is to pull out everything that's inside of me before I check out of here. Like, I want to get it all out. I want to become what I was supposed to. I want to become God's idea of me when he brought me into this earth. That's my objective. And you see things and you're like, yo, that's nice. Like when you're a kid, nobody has to tell you what's bummy from what's nice.
Right.
It just is what it is. The nice stuff come with a certain energy. So you're attracted to it. And then the person who had that stuff, they got a certain energy. So you're attracted to that. So you look at it and you're like, yo, I want that. So I had a friend who actually used to do mortgages. I did a Facebook Live. I do this Facebook Live while you're still here or something. But it's people who inspire me. My friend Fabian used to work mortgages
right.
at like 18, 19 years old. So every new car came out, he had it. He was like the Acura's 2.2 CL, he had it. He put some rims on it. The bubble eye Lexus, he had it. The Escalade, he had it. So I'm seeing this. Now, he wasn't doing nothing illegal.
Right.
But I'm seeing this, and I'm like, yo, that's my man. But it ain't nothing different from him than me. So I need to figure this out. Then I start, you know, you said surrounding yourself around certain people. I put myself in an environment that wasn't the best environment. But they had what I wanted.
Right.
They had the Mercedes, one or five Mercedes Benz in the world, bulletproof glass, $200,000 cars. They had it all. And when you're in that environment, if you're around four millionaires and you hang out with them long enough, you're gonna be number five. Mm-hmm. But if you're hanging around four, you know, drug dealers, and they got stuff, you're gonna be number five. So I learned how to get money in the wrong environment. They taught me business. At the time, I just thought I was like selling drugs. No, they taught me business. It's the same thing. It's mm-hmm. supply and demand. Buy low, sell high. If you got to break it up, break it. Same thing. It's the same concept. But I can't pinpoint a person. It was just those experiences collectively that gave me the ability or the belief that, you know what, I can pull this off.
Right.
Then I started reading. I'm a reader. I know that's one of our questions, but I'm going to read. I got like 1,000 books that I can physically touch. Mm-hmm. Real true story. I can physically touch 1,000 books. First book that I read was Think and Grow Rich.
Okay, yeah, I read that too.
Second book was As a Man Thinketh by James Allen.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
Third book, it's only 67 pages. One of the best books. All
right. So yeah. We're going to be doing our book club.
Third book was The Law of Success and 16 Lessons by Napoleon Hill. So all of those books are just mindset books.
Right.
When you turn that thing on, if you turn it on right, it don't go off. when you know that it's possible, you might not manifest it early on, but mm-hmm. when you know that it's possible, it never goes off. And a while ago, I knew it was possible. So then I started listening to a guy named Jim Rohn. He's a motivational speaker. He has my personality, dry humor, not a lot of colorfulness to his delivery, but I'm talking about will change the way you look at life. And all of that information and constantly seeing people. Yeah, we grew up Jay-Z, Diddy,
right.
Fifth, Birdman. You see all of these executives, and they grew up in our era. So you saw them rapping, and then you see the constant growth. That's what I could relate to at that point. Then when I started reading, and you start seeing these billionaires swap places for number one, number three. The guy from Mexico, he come over, he 46 oh, yeah. billion. Then, you know, you start seeing it. You're looking at, now you looking at, okay, Jay and Nas and, well, not Nas, but.
Yeah, Nas, he has money. Now, wait, yeah. No, I'm I was about but, to say, he made it when I was great investments.
Yeah, he did. But when I was a youngster, I'm looking at Jay and Fifth, and I'm looking at Birdman and Master P, I'm looking at all them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at, you know, Bill Gates and all the Steve Forbes and I'm seeing growth.
Right.
Two different worlds, but I'm seeing growth. And when you start listening to the interviews, they saying the same thing. It's between your ears. Whatever you believe and you start working toward that, you start to manifest it. And it's not no spooky pooky. It's not like you just sit here and meditate and it shows up. But when you start believing, you start taking a certain level of action.
Right.
And your level of action is always equal to your level of belief. Now it's like, oh, they can do it in their world and they can do it in that world, but the principles are the same. I need right. to find out the principles. Another thing that I figured out, they never chased money. They chased the process. Because it's a difference between having $1 million mm-hmm. and being a millionaire. Yeah. Big difference.
Well, you know what I say.
What's that?
In order to be a millionaire, you got to be first a thousandaire.
Right.
Can't get there right. until you got thousands, right?
But if I got $1 million and I lose it, mm-hmm. I'm short. But if I'm a millionaire, that means I went through the process.
Right.
The prize is not the money. The prize is the person that you become in the process. That's the real value in this whole pursuit of your potential. It's not it's the person that you become.
Right.
So now if I'm a millionaire, I can make $1 million and then I can teach you how to make it. Cause I am that.
And I think that's the other thing is surrounding yourself with people, not just who's there. I think the problem is people always look up mm-hmm. and not lateral. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's people beside you who you can build stuff with and all y'all can make $1 million.
Right.
You know, in the game. So for me, the book was The Alchemist.
I read that too.
Before that, Rich Dad, Poor Dad in the Cash Flow Quadrant,
mm-hmm.
you know, and The Richest Man in Babylon,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so like, and then, of course, all the books on filmmaking. But
right.
But that's the thing. I'm constantly educating myself.
Right.
You know, whether it is going to school or outside of school, I'm picking up a book, I'm reading it. I examine other people.
Yeah.
And what they're writing about. Because it's like the plan is there. The blueprint is there. Now, every blueprint don't work for everybody. But that's the thing. It's like buying a house. You know, every house doesn't fit you every time.
Right.
So you have to determine this house I'm buying right now is temporary. It fits me right now.
Right.
It has all the compartments, all the things I need for now.
Right.
There's something missing because if it wasn't missing, I wouldn't push to achieve what's missing
right.
and achieve greater.
Right.
And so that's how I look at it. You know, so the next book helps me. It helps me examine myself and you reading it. And the greatest most millionaires, they say the wealthy people read all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm like, yeah, you got to read. What you reading? My wife and I would go back and forth. What book are you on? What you read now? And we talk about it. You know, right. I'm like, yeah, I just read this book and I'm reading this one right now and stuff. It's like, oh, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Great one.
You know, DNA of Relationships, because growth in business is about building relationships, yeah. But it's also, that helps with marriage too.
Oh, dope. I need to pick that one up.
Yeah. So, hi, I'm Michael Melvin. Welcome to Dreamers by Design. Dreamers by Design is a weekly program to inspire and support entrepreneurs and those with the desire to turn their dreams into their legacy. The important thing about understanding what Dreamers by Design is, we are given dreams, and it's by God's design, or if you're spiritual, it's given by design, by divine design, that you want to achieve your dreams, and that's who you really are. My co-host.
My name is Tony Wagner. I am definitely a dreamer. I'm in the process of designing my dream and legacy, and I'm happy to be here to share my experiences and hopefully the things that I've been through can help somebody dodge or duck some potholes and help them get to their dreams faster.
So I'm going to start the show off with a question for Tony. How do you define yourself as a dreamer?
I've been a dreamer since I was a kid. I've always been considered the black sheep of my family. So, and not in a bad way, but just in a way where if there was a status quo, I always went against that. So the whole idea of go to school, get a good job, work for 50 years or whatever, and get a pension, that never resonated with me. It was always me seeing things or seeing people that had things that I didn't have, and I was inspired by it. So nobody told me to go after it. I just, common sense, I saw it and I wanted it, and I just started figuring out how to get it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I can understand that, man.
How about yourself? What inspired you to dream?
I was a dreamer as a kid. And anything I had in my dreams would come to, in a sense. And what I learned is to take my creativity and make it work for me. So when I was writing or doing music or painting or anything, those things popped up in my dreams. And then I think when I learned about money and how to understand money at such a young age, because it's probably about 8 years old when I started to understand money, how to make money. You know, the kid that had this lemonade stand.
Right.
And selling popcorn and stuff and right. Collecting cans and crushing them. That was me. And I took that money. My mom made a point one day. I wanted this toy, this G.I. Joe toy. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want this tank and it's $20. And she was like, I don't have $20. And I'm looking at her purse and I'm like, it's right there sitting in your purse. She's like, little boy, right? And she lets me know. Then she says, I have that money set aside for something. Mm-hmm. But if you want something bad enough, then you make money and you get it.
Right.
Right. And then that woke me up. So I started saving lunch money. Like I said, collecting aluminum cans, recycling them and everything. And anything I wanted, I bought. But then later, as I got a little older, probably about 11, 12 years old, I realized the things I should buy, the things that feed my dreams. Like if I'm painting, buy the paintbrushes, buy the canvas, buy the airbrush, buy the stuff. So by the time I'm in high school, things I want to do, I purchased. You know, so right. While everybody's buying sneakers, I'm the guy, you know, that bought the microphones, so, you know, to feed my dream.
Right, right.
So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah,
definitely, man. Thanks. So, okay. How did you become interested in entrepreneurship and investing?
So my story about entrepreneurship came from me actually being in environments where people were hustling. Mm-hmm. So my father, great example of, you know, he went to work every day. He supported his family, never did nothing crazy. As a matter of fact, my father just passed a few weeks ago. So,
rest in peace.
Yeah. Right. So it actually turned on something inside of me to, you know, push harder and make the seed that he planted grow into a solid oak tree. So, and I appreciate that example that he gave me. But again, that it was something always on the inside of me that said, you know what, I want more. So my first job, I actually had this, I worked at like a warehouse, and they would give us these safety vests, and you could slide things in the back of the safety vest. And at 18 years old, I wrote, going to make a million in the back. That was what I put in the back of my safety vest. So the seed was always there. And they say that people are born with it, or I don't know. I just know for me, the desire was always there to have more because I saw more. And that's all I needed to see. If he can do it, I can do it. So that seed was always there. And I started out just with what I had. My father always told me, the difference between a big shot and a little shot, the big shot kept shooting.
Right.
So as far as like having an example of what a business person is supposed to be, I didn't have that. But I knew that if I just kept going, that I could get to where I was trying to go. So I've made a lot of mistakes, but now the investing is, I started early on reading as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get the Forbes list, and I would go through the Forbes list, true story, and I would count how many billionaires were in real estate, how many billionaires were in stocks, how many billionaires were in clothing, and the real estate and the stocks were always the ones that had the most billionaires. I don't want to sit in front of a computer. I'm more of an interactive type guy. So real estate became something that I actually went toward, and I'm actually doing well in it now. I have a lot more growth and a lot more things to acquire, but I mean, from the outside looking in, somebody would say that you're doing pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How about yourself? How did you start in entrepreneurship?
For me, entrepreneurship, like I said, my mom kind of told me about money, but I grew up in an entrepreneurship household.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents worked regular jobs, but my mom had her own company. She would always, when I was younger, we lived in Texas when we moved from, I was born in Germany, and we moved from Germany.
H-Town.
And we moved to DC, then we moved to Texas. And while we were living in Texas, as a little kid, I'm watching my mom do hair. She was a beautician. And after that, she also went to school for the government to get into public relations. Okay. So they sent her away to Indiana. And then my dad was sent away to get his associate's degree as well.
Right.
And they came back. We moved to Maryland. And while we're in Maryland, which we're still all right, but I've been different places.
Mm-hmm.
While we're in Maryland, my mom starts her own desktop publishing and resume company. And it's going really well. So well, at one point, Sears offered her money to buy the company and still let her run it.
Oh, wow.
And she asked us, should I do it? And I'm like, no. Because anytime somebody comes and offers you money, they see the value in what you're doing, but you guys see the value. And she ended up moving back to Texas, her and my dad, and they shut it down. And then she opened up a clothing boutique and stuff. And so that entrepreneur spirit has always been around me. And she said, I have a little tycoon, because when I was in fifth grade, sixth grade, and seventh grade, I threw newspapers for the Baltimore Sun.
Okay.
And so I was getting like $100 a month. You got to imagine. Right. Elementary school, middle school, $100 a month. And then I got greedy. I did the Columbia Flyer. They didn't pay as much. But that money worked for me.
Right.
And that entrepreneur spirit came from seeing my mom, seeing all that happen.
That's cool. It's good to have an example. My mom never worked, but she had a daycare in-house, and she was a seamstress. So when I look back over where did that seed come from, I would have to say that from a personality trait that came from my mom. Mm-hmm. Because she, when it was time to buy a car, she just go grab $7,000 out of a box out of the house. And she always bought a used car, Toyota or Honda or something.
Right.
And she would just go grab cash and just go pay for it cash. And the whole house is looking around like, yo, where you get this money from? But she just did what made her happy and saved. And when it was time to get something, she always had it. And I guess that's a trait of a virtuous woman, you know, versus women always have little something just in case. And she, I mean, we never needed it, mm-hmm. but when it was time to buy a car, that just gave her an opportunity to do something for herself. And she just always had cash on hand. Yeah.
And I think that in what you said right there in the word virtuous woman out of her own earnings,
right?
You know, that's what it says.
Absolutely.
So, I support women entrepreneurs. You know, my wife is an entrepreneur, you know, and, she's, started her own business, Breath of Life, and teaching CPR training and health consulting and stuff. And so I was fascinated by her about that, because that's, that's what connected us too.
Right.
She had a style. She was, you know, my wife is beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And but she had that go-getter mentality. Anything she wanted to know, she could learn.
Right.
You know, and that kind of reminded me of my mom just a little bit. My dad's always like, you know what they say.
Right.
And I'm like, ah. Right. But her and my mom got along very, very well. Well, they get along very, very right. well.
That's good.
So they, you know, that spirit's there. And right. you're right. It grows. And I hope our sons have it. I hope, you know, it's a family thing. Because I think... entrepreneurship is so important it to is. Our society anyway.
It is.
It builds the economy.
Right.
You know, it's the thing that creates jobs.
Right.
But unfortunately, more people would rather work than work for or be the one to run their own companies.
Yeah. It's a different dynamic. And just to, we'll talk about relationships and entrepreneurship at some point, because I have somebody that's special to me and very smart and bright young lady. But as we grow together, that'll be a good topic.
Yeah.
Companions and entrepreneurship. How do you balance or integrate? But women actually add so much value. A woman who understands
mm-hmm.
what you're doing adds so much value to you, who you are and what you're pursuing.
Right.
Because the wrong mindset will have you fighting to decide, do I put my energy toward what's inside of me, or do I put my energy toward this woman that I love?
Mm-hmm.
And it causes a conflict, especially if you love the person, but they're not pushing you toward what you're trying to do. And finding that what you have, somebody who's like-minded, who when you say, I'm going to be upstairs working for 6 hours, she don't say, why don't you come down here and watch Wheel of Fortune with me? She understands. Having that just is totally, totally different lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And having that entrepreneur family and that mindset, that really sets up. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, that's the crazy thing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but we'll dive into family right. and all that stuff.
Right.
But again, you're listening to Dreamers by Design. This is our pilot episode. We're live on Facebook. And of course, pretty soon we'll be live on YouTube and a couple other channels as well.
Doing some beta testing here today.
Yeah, today. So you guys are a part of our first run of our live stream as well. And we'll be putting up our audio on iTunes and so forth too as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
awesome. So what was the hardest lesson you learned while in the process of achieving your dream?
Well, you already know. I took my foot off the gas, too. I didn't get enough gigs. But the thing is, too, here's the other aspect, too. I had to make sure that that's what I want to do, too. Like, I got to a point and said, you know what? I just want to make independent films and produce stuff. So do I technically want to keep working in corporate world and stuff? It's like somebody asked me, do you do weddings? I don't shoot weddings. Oh, why? It's not my thing. You know, you have to know what's you.
Absolutely.
You know, you said that earlier, but I find people, because I don't know if you ever had this before, but I'll be sitting in a bookstore reading a book. Somebody like, you look like an entrepreneur. Oh, Lord.
network marketing.
Yeah. Right? And I had to tell him, I'm like, look, man, let me tell you what's up. I have my own business. Yeah, but you could do, that's not me. I'm not gonna focus my money in that. I'm gonna focus my money over here and over here, but that's not me.
Right.
And then what happens is people feel a certain way with you, but I'm like, yo, that's okay. You should still network with me. Mm-hmm. You should still connect with me. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna lead you to somebody else. I may lead you to somebody else. That is them. Mm-hmm. But that's not me. And you should respect that.
Right.
And say, you know what? That's not you. But bro, we're two businessmen.
Right.
You know, and the guy, you know, is breaking out everything. He's like, man, and he just kept pounding it. They keep hounding you. I'm like, yo, right. Bro, it's not me.
Right.
It's okay that it's not me.
Right.
And it's okay that it is you.
Right.
That is still a business. You're still an entrepreneur.
True.
But that's just not my business. You know, we have to respect that. That's where
I've been a part of so many network marketing.
All right. So let's talk about this one. Financials and funding.
Yeah.
List what's needed, monetary standpoint, to start your business.
For me, real estate is easy entry. Mm-hmm. You can get a real estate license and go and apply with a broker or interview a broker and be in business tomorrow. So it's a low barrier of entry. Where the funding and the money comes in is you preparing yourself, mm-hmm. whether that be mentally, emotionally, marketing, business plan, a team. That's where most of the money comes in. The initial start is pretty easy. But if you really want, because there's so much competition, because there is a low barrier of entry, mm-hmm. everybody has a real estate license. So if I ask somebody, look, you have an agent? Yeah, my cousin an agent.
Right.
Yeah. So I get it. Now the funds that you've put into developing yourself and getting around that your cousin is an agent, and you having systems and processes in place that that person's cousin don't, and you being able to sell them on using you versus their cousin, and then knowing how to sell and ask them. Now, when your cousin find out you use another real estate agent, what you gonna tell them? Like, that's a real sales tactic. Mm-hmm. My brother's in the business. I go to sales training, and this is an actual section in sales training. My brother's in the business. How do you sell around my brother's in the business? So when you approach people, and everybody has a real estate license, how do you get over that? How do you get around that? That's where most of, from a real estate perspective, most of the funding goes, preparing you. And then once you are prepared and you are performing at a certain level, having systems and processes in place where you can bring people on. And when you bring them on, they have something to do. Right. And that something to do is supporting you and building and expanding your business. So there is some money that's going to be involved in entrepreneurship across the board regardless. I think the first investment, like you said earlier, if you're not prepared, mm-hmm. the business is not going to work, because you are the business, whether you are working in it or on it, you are the business. You can take a multi-billion dollar company and change the CEO out, and things change, because right. the person at the head is the actual business. So I would say that the first level of funding goes to yourself. And then once you become a certain person, you'll know what to do with the rest of the money, because now you're wise enough and you're experienced enough to know how you want to blueprint what it is that you're building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about yourself?
My belief is your first number one investment is you. There's always three types of investments. And this is my perspective on life. Invest in God.
Right.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And invest in others. Mm-hmm. The mistake I see that most people make is they spend a lot with God, a lot with other people, very little on themselves.
Yeah.
And instead of balancing it out equally and putting enough that I need to invest in me, because if I don't invest in me, I can't do this and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I can't help anybody. Mm-hmm. What happens is we help a bunch of people and we go broke, then we can't help them more.
Right.
Or we can't do anything else.
Right.
And we have to change that mindset. So your first investment is you. Mm-hmm. Every way possible. I'm talking about save your money. Build your business with that certain amount. Say, this is the percentage. So when I make X amount in profit, I put this aside to do this. It's just, that's the first thing. But you have to invest in skills. So funding needs to go in your education. However you do it. Mm-hmm. And I say this because my wife would be like, you know what? That's a lot of books to buy. I'm going to go get a library card. You see what I'm saying? Right. Cats be like, oh, I'm going to spend all this money. Let me go get the book from the discount bookstore. Right. Or
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. There's another one, Bargain Books or something like that. I got to remember what it was. But they buy books, use books and stuff, and they sell it. And it's cheap.
Yeah.
You know, get it online. Get with a group of people and say, all right, we're going to share these books or whatever. Join book clubs, whatever it is. But the library is free.
Yeah.
Doesn't change. I used to go to the library as a kid all the time and check out a bunch of books. It's free. You know, the only time it costs you is when you're late. Right. You can't find the book.
Right.
But I think that's how you fund it. Yeah. Real quick, want to drop this real quick. You're listening to Dreamers by Design. I'm Michael Melvin.
This is Tony Wagner.
And we are talking about, now that you had the dream, now, what do you do now? Or you had the dream, now what? All right, so just want to remind you what you listen to. Next question I'd like to get there.
Yeah.
When it comes to, let's talk about what you do.
Yeah.
As a businessman.
Yeah.
So let our audience know, who is Tony, the entrepreneur?
Okay. So to get to where I am, I got to give you a little bit of back history.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, always had that seed. My first endeavor was a personal training company. So I was like 265 pounds. I was overweight. Mm-hmm. My class reunion was coming up. And I'm like, I got to go to the class reunion looking right. So I started this pursuit of losing weight.
Right.
Didn't go to the class reunion, by the way. but I started this habit, and I think I got down like 185 or something. It took me like 12 months. I didn't know what I was doing. I was still eating sandwiches and chips at lunch, but I was working. And so my friends was like, how are you doing what you're doing? It's like, I'll share it with you. Gave it to them. They got results too.
Okay.
So I was like, maybe I'm on to something. So I started working for a personal training company. And then I ventured out on my own. So that was my first entrepreneur endeavor. And like I said earlier, it's a different dynamic because nobody tells you what to do. Nobody tells you to get up. It's all on you. Right. And if I could do it all over again, I would do it 100% different, by the way. But if you don't have systems, processes, and drive, you might as well work for somebody that's going to pay you. Because the concept is eat what you kill. And if you don't have that mindset that I got to kill something if I'm going to eat, if you don't have that mindset, you're not going to make it. So that was my, and I just happened to have a background of not only am I the owner, but I'm a client. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I happen to have had some success with my own philosophy. And that story alone got me clients. Then I got a contract with the Canadian Embassy. So I used their gym.
Okay.
To train the people who worked at the embassy in D.C. That was like highway robbery. I was like walking with I didn't need no nothing. They had everything. I walked in with my backpack and walked out with a check. So I was like, oh, okay, this is what service does. I can provide a service, but then I was exchanging time for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So how I got to where I am right now, about 4 years ago, there was a lottery. It was $1 billion. And I told myself, I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow when I'm a billionaire. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I said, I'm going to do real estate. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest in real estate. Needless to say, I didn't win the lottery.
Okay.
However, my daughter was sick that day. And I stayed home and I just filled out every real estate application I could find on Indeed.com. Went to Craigslist and Indeed. And about 6 months later, a company called me and offered me a position. It wasn't what I wanted. I turned it down. They called me back 2 weeks later. Wasn't what I wanted. I turned it down. And eventually they called me and offered me what I wanted. And that's how I started working for, in the capacity that I work in now, which is new home sales. So I work for a builder. Mm-hmm. I'm the manager of a community. And I sell homes. So somebody may say, you're not an entrepreneur. And I ask them, if you don't sell a house, do you eat? Because I eat what I kill. So it's the same exact thing. Now, am I going to grow and transition out of the capacity that I'm in into my own? Absolutely. But when I go to work, I don't get a check. Somebody got to walk in there, or I have to call somebody. I have to sell them on the property and what I have, and that's how I get paid. So if that's not entrepreneurship, if that's not business, I don't know what it is. I have to create systems and processes and follow up, and I have to be motivated on a day-to-day basis. And when you tell me no, I got to dust it off because somebody else walking in the door. Right. That's business. That's business 101. And I happen to be pretty good at it. Now, I've done a lot of things to get to where I am, but I'm pretty good at it, and I get better every day. Absolutely.
Now, real estate is a very important business that people miss out on. Buying property, you know, I'm in my second home, right. You know, like right. We got another property and we had other properties. And that's how we met. I think it's so important that people invest in buying. I know people who have lived in an apartment most of their lives, mm-hmm. you know, sat in an apartment for the last 10 to 20 years. That's money. You're paying someone else's mortgage.
Right.
Right. So there's no equity built in it. There's no growth. If you ever are in any medical situation, where are you getting the money from?
Right.
You know, that's in your house. You got money built in your home. So that's why it's important. And when you buy more than one home, you're renting them out, you have income coming in. So I've done that for a while, you know.
Right. That's awesome.
And we're going back to doing that again. But, so, yeah, that's entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. That's another form of entrepreneurship.
Right.
Matter of fact, remember what our show's topic is today.
Right.
By the way, you have the dream.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do?
Right.
Right. What made you, what dream did you have to get you into real estate?
Again, going back to those Forbes magazines, when I look at who I am on the inside, I am in Forbes magazine, like not even exaggerating. That's what I see when I look on the inside. It may take time for the rest of the world to see it, but I am what I am. And as long as that's on my mind, that's where I'm going. So when I look at myself in the mirror, it's two things. Thank God for where I am, and I'm thinking about where I'm going. And that actually came from my mental capacity. So, believe it or not, 2 years ago, I was homeless. I slept in my car for 9 months. Hot, 90 degrees at night, cold, 2 degrees at night. Had to wake up in the middle of the night, turn my car on and knock the cool off because it's cold in there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I was asked a question. The question was, how do you live like that? And my answer was, when you know that you are passing through, it don't bother you. Because I knew that that wasn't my life. That was a result of me playing not to lose instead of playing to win. So I was up a year before that. I had a six-figure income, but I took my foot off the gas. And when you take the foot off the gas and start trying to hold on, that's lack of faith because you don't think you can get more. So you start holding on to what you have. And that posture landed me sleeping in my car at Gold's Gym, taking a shower in the morning, sleeping in hospital parking lots because it's a police officer at the front door and I think it's safe. And that not having faith will land you in that posture. But then all you have to do is flip the switch because your faith is on or off. It's no, I'm believing. No. You either believe or you don't.
Right.
So I had flipped the switch off. So I just flipped it back on. And you just start, you go from believing to knowing to being. And right now I'm in the knowing phase. I know for a fact I can't breathe without $250,000 a year.
Right.
That ain't in my reality no more. Just 2 years ago, I had 50 cent at Christmas time. Amazon messed up one of my orders and they gave me a $25 gift card. And that's how I bought my daughter a Christmas gift 2 years ago. Now, $250,000, if I can't make a quarter, I'm my heart racing. Something wrong. I'm not comfortable because I changed my thermostat. But it's a process. And it all starts right here. The reason I don't have $250 million, because I haven't got it right here yet. As soon as I get it right here, it's done. Because right. All of this out here is just a manifestation of what's in here. So, yeah, that's how I got to where I am. And I'm just curious to see, how did you get to where you are? Because you're a technical guy, man, and I don't have that gift.
Oh, that's fascinating. like I said, I invested. Anytime I had money, I took it and I invested it. Like, businesses, it's hard to get a bank loan. You know, you got to have a good business plan, which is the first thing I did is write a business plan. Then someone said, hey, you got a business plan? Yeah. What about a marketing plan? Yeah, I didn't think that one through. You know what I mean? So you learn from the mistakes.
Right.
But what ended up happening is I worked for a company and I was going to leave and start my own business. I already had running. I already had started it anyway, doing film, video production, and so forth. And the company I was working for, I said, you know what? I'm going to resign, but I'll come back and help, right? And I had somebody designing a website for me, and it cost me my job. And it had nothing to do with me. Like, the situation for them had absolutely nothing to do with me.
Wow.
But they took it out on me.
Wow.
But I looked at it as someone did something to me, and it was they lied, they betrayed me, all the trust, all that stuff, and what they said wasn't true or nothing like that, right? So it was just like, wow, what? Wait a second. And then, but it spoke to me, like faith. Because now I'm at, like, where's the money going to come from?
Right.
I got a mortgage. I paid off the car. I just paid off the car maybe a year ago at the time. And I need health insurance. Cobra is a killer. Right. That joker, they sent me a thing. It was $800. I was like, I got $800 a month for health insurance?
Right.
you take your job for granted at that time.
Right.
But I thought back, because I was already doing video production for people. And oddly enough, the same company that let me go hired me to shoot a video. So I shot the video. After I shoot the video, I bought a camera, another camera. So I had two cameras instead of one. I hired different people as freelancers to come work for me. And next thing you know, every month I got a job. You know, I got, but unfortunately, this is the mistake I made. I didn't keep money coming in. I got complacent. I just needed one job a month and I paid all the bills, right? And what I didn't realize was I need a storehouse. So instead of having one job a month, I should have had 7 or 10. You know, because I only had to work one day and I'd make more money than anybody, you know, most people in just that one day shooting and then come back editing. My days were set. I'd hit the gym and all that stuff.
Right.
And, but I realized after everything went down, it was like, whoa, I should have kept working and putting that money in the bank, setting it aside and building up, because I kept having the money. And we do get comfortable sometimes. We think it's okay. At least I'm not starving. I'm not, I'm there. I got a business. I have people calling me. I didn't even have to advertise or anything. People are like, I heard about you. How much do you charge? da da da, bam, okay. And they're writing the checks. And but I'm dealing with companies, corporations. I'm not just dealing with just any, you know, anybody. So I hit a bad month. No client.
No money.
No money. And I have a little bit of money set aside. And at that time, I was getting married. At that time, you know, and the person I was getting married to, she was just like, well, you need to find a job. But being an entrepreneur is a job. Mm-hmm. See, but that's, that person didn't understand that. That's why we divorced. But that's a different thing. You know, mm-hmm. that's why the whole dynamics is so important. But I learned from it. And today I go, okay, student loans, go to school. When you get your refund, I tell people this, I tell young people this all the time. When you get that refund, don't go buy clothes. Think a couple things you need to think about is take that refund money, invest in your business, buy real estate, buy equipment for your company, software, whatever it is, because you got to pay that money back at some point.
Right.
But yet that's the easiest loan on the planet to get.
Right.
Don't waste that refund. Going to the party, getting a haircut, getting some nice clothes. Nice clothes don't mean jack. All right. I tell people that all the time. They're like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I do. They don't appreciate in value. Right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So they're a liability, not an asset.
Absolutely.
And that just taught me a lot, but it showed me how to use money that you get from other places and build your brand, do your business, be very intentional on how you're going to do things. And you and I, it's funny because we talk all the time and we have the differences. I went to college.
Right.
You know, so I take it from the college perspective, but that's still money you're investing. So college has to be a write-off tax-wise or something. So when you start, like I tell to everybody, you got to start your own business. I don't care what it is you do. And at this day and age, you shouldn't just have one. You should have two, three. You have to have multiple streams of income that are going to constantly build you. And it might deplete you for a while, but it's a short-term investment and a sacrifice that has a longer and better return on investment. And we don't think about those things, but no one's teaching us. As an African-American man, I'll be real. My parents didn't totally understand money.
Right.
My dad's response was go get a government job or a job that you can retire from. And I'm like, but there's inflation. Does retirement plan for inflation?
Right.
You know, it's so interesting that people, but I always believe, yeah, I'll have another job because that's another stream of income until what I love doing comes. And I love what I do now. And I do my other thing at the same time. So it doesn't make a difference. And I'm always building something else anyway. And it taught me a lot, but it helped me. But it's so funny that you and I went through an experience that caused us to be at a point where, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, because when I sat in my car, I was like, God, only you can bring me out this one. Because I don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't know where anybody's coming from. And it happened.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where my faith just grew deeper and deeper. It's like, I'm not looking for God. I know God. You know what I'm saying?
Knowing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was the hardest lesson you learned while in the process of achieving?
Never take my foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Never take your foot off the gas. When you've identified something that's in the lane that you want to be in, mm-hmm. and it's producing for you, don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
Don't do the 1 gig a month. Do the 10 gigs. Because, again, in this process, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, and being that we're going to fail, and being that failure or the perception of failure is actually a learning process, the best thing to do is fail as fast as you can.
Right.
So that you can get to where you're going faster. Never, never. If I could give somebody any advice, don't take your foot off the gas. As a matter of fact, just this past couple of weeks, this my father passing, actually, people respond to things different ways. Me always take things and add that log to the fire, because I'm not going to quit where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So it's either going a process or a situation that's going to make you go down, or it's going to push you, propel you forward.
Right.
I took it, and it's going to propel me forward. So I had a conversation with my friends while I was home, and I was like, yo, I'm applying pressure to everything. I'm talking about in the best way. So my relationship, pressure, good pressure. My relationship with my daughter, intense pressure. Like, I'm giving everything in me. And when it comes to business, I'm applying pressure to everything. Everybody get it.
Right.
I'm not, because if I'm going, I need to find out what's going on right now. A lot of times we put too much time and space in between the next step. So mm-hmm. we say, okay, I want to get here. All right, I'm going to do that next week. No. Let's do that today. Like if we really, when you start really believing, you start knowing, like, I don't have a lot of time. And looking at my father in that situation, I'm looking at like, yo, like, I don't have time. Like, I wonder how many regrets he have, things that he knew he could have done or wish he would have done. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it like, nah, we all gotta go. When I go, I'm sliding in the home plate. I'm talking about dusty. My uniform gonna be messed up. I'm giving it all. So I don't want, like, it's, so everything, I'm applying pressure to it. So my process is right now is find out what I want to do and apply pressure.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And it's funny, or ironic, my inspiration to push me to do what I was doing, especially the filmmaking and writing and stuff, was my grandfather. My grandfather and grandmother, they used to live in D.C. We used to go to D.C. almost every other Sunday to visit and hang out. And I hadn't had a chance to see them. But every time I went, my granddad would have an article about a movie or something. He's like, don't you want to make movies? And, you know, when I was at school at Bowie, I had my own radio show. So he was like, hey, bring me a tape of your radio show. I'll listen to it. I'll check it out. And my dad and I go over there. We drop off tapes. He's like, yeah, I like your show. You know, so he was listening. He was my biggest supporter in
that.
That's dope. You know, I learned who I am in many ways from my granddad and my dad. Just like, you know. And when my grandfather passed away, I got where I moved away from everything. And then I something said, you know, how do you honor somebody who's gone? And then I thought, oh no, what do I do? And then I woke up and it's like, the way you honor them is do the things they believed you could do. My grandfather believed I could make movies. He fed that. You see what I'm saying? So the worst thing I could have done is sink away and not do none of that.
Right.
And give up.
Right.
Because you can't honor somebody. My dad believes in me. My mom believes in me. So the people that believe in me, whether they're here or gone, how I remember them is believing in myself.
Right.
And then take that belief and put it into others so they believe in themselves too.
Right.
Because that's what we're taught.
Right.
So that's how I look at things.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Tony, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to your plan,
yep.
Oftentimes, we fail.
Yeah.
Human beings fail. We make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
So how do you, what is your process for fixing your mistakes in your plan and looking at it?
I don't know if you fix the mistake. You learn from it and you eliminate that as a road. So So when I make mistakes, and I do often, I just learn what not to do. I learned from it, but it's not an option anymore. So that narrows my options to get to my goal. The faster I make mistakes, the narrower my options get. I learn from my mistakes, and collectively I've been able to put some things together. I'm at the beginning of my journey.
Okay.
That's the the good part. I mean, like I said, from the outside looking in, somebody might say, you're doing all right. But I don't show it. I don't go and buy what I could buy. I don't spend money on frivolous things. I'm pretty conservative. I spend money on other people that I love. Mm-hmm. I do that in a heartbeat. But when it comes to me, I'm cool. But when I make mistakes, the first thing is I check my emotions.
Okay.
Because, see, your emotional bank account is more important than your financial bank account. Because if you can endure the failure, then it don't bother you no more. So if a person walk in my community and don't buy a house, from the outside, look like a failure. For me, okay, it's a numbers game. If that person don't buy, and that I need to get as many people in this model as possible, because three or four or five don't buy, it's a buyer coming. So I don't look at it as failure no more. So I take that whole philosophy and I look at it in life. If I try something over here and it don't work, it's not failure. It's just not the person.
Right.
Now, I don't eliminate that person and say, I look at it and say, okay, what could I have done better?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a learning experience. But right now, that's not my person. Let me get a name, number, information. And when I'll touch you later, may not be the right time, or I didn't say the right thing, or this may not be the right community, but I'll double check later. But I need the next person to come in the door. So I'm past the feeling of failure where it kind of bothers me. I don't care. I don't care. If you want to buy a house, I'm in it just as much as you are. But the moment I find out that you don't want to buy a house, I got a house. So I don't get emotional connected to the process unless my client is emotionally connected to the process. As much as they're in, I'm in just as much. You give me 100, I give you 110. You pull back, I got to pull back. Because you're not going to leave me feeling a certain way because you ain't bought a house.
Right.
You know, so that's how I deal with what's perceived as failure. I just learn from it. I check my emotional bank account, and I understand that the faster I get no's, I'm getting closer to a yes.
Mm.
But your situation is different because you are doing a whole film production. So how do you, number one, what would you call a failure in your industry, and then how do you deal with it?
Failures is if you never make it. If you never make the film, that's right. Failure to me, because you may not, no, I don't, like, here's how I look at being an independent filmmaker or anything, musician, writers, all that stuff, the arts, period.
Mm-hmm.
You have an industry that has a standard.
Right.
Right? Because you got to sell $1 million and you spend this much money in budget. You do this. I don't spend that much money in budget. So my thing is, did I get the money back that I spent, and do I get more? And then I get into more houses. Do I have another larger audience? When we did a web series a couple of years ago, within not even a whole week, we had 40,000 views.
Mm.
No one's ever heard of me in that sense. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. No one heard of the web series. They didn't even know it was coming. So you have 40,000 people watch your first episode. And then we stayed in the thousands. I think the next one, I don't know where it's at right now, but I know it was probably like 20,000 or something like that or whatever. And they kept going for a while. But the thing is, we had people responding, talking, engaged. And that's the whole thing with social media.
Right.
So the thing is, are you getting a residual income from it? Are you building enough numbers to create a brand? Because the key is, to me, is building your brand.
Right.
You're successful when you build a brand and people know who you are. When you walk in, and this true story, when you walk into a 7-Eleven, like, you're Michael Melvin. I watched your show.
That's dope.
And you're like, I don't know this person, but hey, thank you. How are you doing today? Right. What'd you like about it? You have a conversation. I watched the Tyler Perry, you know, and I watched how when he did plays, he came out and he met everybody. He said hi.
Right.
He made it a connection, made it personal. And so when people went to the next play or went to see his movies, they felt like, well, I know him. I met him at the play. I'm going to go see his next movie. So they were invested.
Right.
You know, so you got to invest so much that your audience is invested.
Right.
Where I look at it and I tell people, these are the numbers, how I look at stuff. If I can sell, let's say I can spend $10,000, $20,000 on a movie, right? And if I'm selling a movie at $10 or $20, right? If I can get 1,000 people to watch it, that's made $20,000, right?
Yes, sir. All day.
If I get 2,000 people to watch it, that's $40,000, right?
Yep.
All right. If I get 10,000 people to watch it, $100,000, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I look at stuff. Like, wait a second. This industry is teaching you big numbers. They're not teaching you small numbers add up. This is me. I don't leave a penny on the ground.
Right.
You know why? Every penny adds up.
Right.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You got to, and people throw pennies away and I'll be like, what? I got two jars right now.
Right.
And they're equaling. The smallest one is already over $100. Right. The other one's like $300.
Right.
I don't even touch them. I just keep dropping change in them. You see what I'm saying though? Like people right. don't think like that.
Right.
But it adds up.
Right.
And when you build your next one, and then I looked at the mentor and I reached out to a gentleman on Facebook and I asked him, hey, would you mind being my mentor? He talked to me. He gave me a call. He's very busy, dude.
Yeah.
So he'll reach out every now and then. He'll say, what's up? How's everything going? How's college going? Because I'm in grad school now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's going. It's stressful. He said, when you're done, you ready to make your film, right? You ready to make your feature again, right? Yeah, and because he saw the web series. He took the time out, and he sends me his stuff. And, you know, but he's on BET. He's on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
He's on the spot. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But I reached out to him because I said, I need a mentor.
Yeah.
I need somebody who's doing it, who is where I would like to be.
Yeah.
And he is there.
Yeah.
Now, he may not have all the time in the world.
Right.
But just a little bit of his time. And I even put a value on. I said, look, bro, what do I need to pay you to mentor me? See, cats don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all free. Nah. I mean, if I don't have to pay him, and I didn't, but if I did, I would pay to be in a room with Solomon.
Yes, sir. The wise man.
You get what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like, you want wisdom. You want to be around it. So why wouldn't you? You pay college professors.
Yeah, invest.
And some of them don't help you.
ROI, yeah.
So, you know, that's how I look at things.
Right.
But.
So let's take one more question. Which mm-hmm. one are we going, which one you want to go with?
I would say, what was the hardest lesson you learned while in the process of achieving your dreams?
I would act as if I can't fail.
Mm.
Like, no. And graduating from knowing to be. When we go to church, I grew up in church.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't act like it. I know I didn't
might say that about me.
I didn't act like it. In the past, I didn't act like it at all. But I grew up in church. And in church, they teach you to believe, like believe in God, believe this, believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're believing has a, if I can demonstrate believing, if you stretch your arm out, when I think believing, what I'm wanting is always an inch away. Mm. I'm striving. There's a force versus a power. I have a book called Power Versus Force, and force is you need a lot of energy. Believing, when I hear believing, and this is just what I have come to as my truth.
Okay.
So you start out believing. Then when you have a certain amount of experiences with an industry or experiences with God or experiences with a person, you go from believing to knowing. See, if I get in trouble, I know God gonna show up for me. if somebody give me a business opportunity in real estate, oh, I know I'm gonna figure it out. Like I know enough. I've had enough experience to know I don't have to believe.
Right.
Now I'm in the process of graduating from knowing to being. So the billionaire that I want to be, I think I put a Facebook post. What would the person that I want to be do in this situation or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it.
I'm in the process of from going from knowing to being. So if I know I'm gonna be a billionaire, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I need to be that person. So my decisions need to be like, I need to decide and move forward. Billionaires make decisions and they move forward. They don't look back. It don't take a long time to make decisions. They look at the information presented to them. They look at it. They decide. They move forward. Billionaires have leverage. Mm-hmm. They have ideas. And then they bring people on to execute those ideas. And they oversee the business. They're not working in it. They're working on it.
Right.
I have to be what I know. Because the believing is just the seed. But then the tree grows. And then the tree is. And I'm graduating to being. And I think if we just stay in the believing phase, you're always close, mm-hmm. but you're not it. And especially spiritually, I know everybody got their own beliefs, but I don't believe in God. I know God.
Right.
I put myself in bad situations and he got me out of them. Like blatant. And he got me out. Ain't no believing. No, I know.
Right.
And so if I know who he's created me to be, I just need to be that thing, be that person. And that's why you have 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 18-year-olds starting multi-million-dollar businesses.
Exactly.
Because they graduated from believing. They are actually being. Somebody got to them early enough to plant a seed and they watered it early on. And they become. See, we always think that they're like, I hear people say life is a journey. Life is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can shorten the process, you get to the prize quicker. It's a process. And if I can steal Bill Gates' process, or if I can steal somebody if I can steal their process and use it, I can get to where I'm going faster than me just figuring it out.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still have the process. That's the thing, yeah.
Absolutely. You answered the same question.
For me, the hardest lesson learned is everybody don't belong along for the ride. I like building teams because I believe that when you build the right team, you can achieve a lot of great things, right? But you just got to make sure that everybody in the team is, one, participating, two, invested.
Right.
You know, and three, that not only they also benefit equally. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right.
That they understand they're going to benefit, right, for the greater good.
Right.
What you find is people get scared of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're really scared. They don't want to admit it, but they are because they're afraid that I'll use myself. When you're a person that when you grind, you get everything you need. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to ask people for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nephew who's a rapper, right? And he travels, he raps and everything. And when he wanted to start out, he is like, Uncle Michael, what do I do? Because you was doing the music thing. I said, your dad did too, man. Nah, well, tell me. I said, read these books.
Right.
He didn't want to do that.
Nobody wants to read.
Right. And then I said, and put some money aside, invest in your equipment. That's crazy. My boy got a studio. I said, so what happens when your boy's like, I don't feel like having nobody in my house right now. I just wait. Right. You're waiting on somebody else. You're putting everything in someone else's hands. Right. So when they're ready, you got to be ready.
Right.
Right. But if you're already ready.
Right.
And you can show people that I can do it with or without you, you in, you out, what you're trying to do. Then people get afraid of that because they're like, well, I don't, you know, he got all the stuff. Yeah, they want you to need them.
Right.
But good businesses, it's not that you need them. It's a mutual agreement.
Right.
You know, I believe in interpersonal communications. You know, I believe in you need me, I need you. Mutually, we have an agreement that we're going to work together. We're going to make something happen.
Collaboration over competition.
People, they just have this thing. I want you to need me. And then they want to get on a ride, but they don't want to work. Or they want to do very little, but they want the most out of it. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn. You got to let people cut themselves loose.
Yeah.
You know, when I told God, you know, I had to realize, I didn't tell God. I asked God for a spirit of discernment to see who's for me, who's against me, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People dropped back. For the first couple minutes, I was mad. Then my wife said, didn't you just ask God to show you who's who? I was like, yeah. There you go. If they show you, believe them.
Yeah.
Everybody can't come along for the ride.
That's right.
And I used to put these posts up. I used to say, you know, when you're a boxer in a ring, you're the one taking all the punches and everything. Everybody else on the sidelines. And they want those people want you to win. There's different people who want you to win. There's some people who want you to lose.
Right.
And even the same people, some people in your corner want you to lose. So they can say to you, I knew you couldn't do it.
Mm.
Or I saw that coming.
Mm.
Well, if you saw it coming, why didn't you tell me?
Mm.
You know, so I learned everybody don't belong for the ride. You might want people, you call them friends. Sometimes your friends or your family, you just got to let them be where they want to be.
Right.
That's let them do their thing.
Right.
If they're meant to come for the ride, then that'll be put in your heart. It'll be put in their hearts and it'll be mutual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It'll be a benefit for everybody.
Right.
And they'll do well. And they'll see the vision because everybody's not going to see your vision
right.
either.
Right.
So that's the other thing I learned too. When you got a vision, you can't tell everybody. And you'll see the real people. Even when I did my first feature film, I learned a lot about other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll tell me, oh, we saw it like this, or you saw it like this. What's that got to do with it? One person said one time to me, he's like, we noticed you were writing this from some of your personal experience. So what do you think art comes from?
Right.
Do you think a musician write a song just out of the blue?
Right. It
comes from
right,
something.
Right, right.
There's something in it.
Right.
You know, it's funny. You know, people think Beyonce, well, if they know, Beyonce didn't write Irreplaceable, right?
Right.
Neo did.
Okay.
But hearing a guy sing it wouldn't sound the same.
Right.
But it came from something.
Right.
You know, I'm Irreplaceable. Hey, you're out, hun.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're inspired. I've known people who started businesses because they got a broken heart. You see what I'm saying?
They say breakup makes bodybuilders. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and you can't get mad if people don't see your vision.
Right.
It was given to you.
Right.
But we just let it be.
Yeah.
And do what you got to do. Let them get off. I'd rather people get off the ride.
Yeah.
Because they'd rather hold you back.
Yeah.
Use up your gas. Remember, when you use up your gas money, ain't got no money, nobody can add $5 in, and you done drove everywhere, and you're like, yo, my tank's on E. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Right.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Well, y'all ain't getting my card no more.
Right, right.
Because it needs to be mutual.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm Michael Melvin.
This is Tony Wagner.
And you've been listening to Dreamers by Design. And Dreamers by Design is a show to help dreamers reach their potential and see their potential in themselves. And we are here to inspire you, encourage you, lift and build you up. We're glad that you were sitting here. If you took the time out to watch us on Facebook and watch our first podcast. We look forward to having many more. We'll be taking a small little break, but we want some feedback from you because we'll be back again June.
Yeah, late June.
Yeah, late June. We just got to get a couple things in order, but we'll be having guests on the show to talk to you, visit, and give you advice and perspective. The next topic we're going to be talking about, because we talked about you had the dream, now what is what's the plan? Because we talked about it, writing down a plan. So we're going to talk about kind of putting together a business plan, what structures look like, things of that nature. On our next show, we'll have some guests. We'll let you know it's pretty soon. But keep us on your Facebook page. Like Dreamers by Design, the Facebook page. We'll be having a YouTube page.
Absolutely.
The website will be going up pretty soon as well. The Instagram page, all that wonderful stuff. So we look forward to sharing more with you. We thank you for taking this time, nice little hour and a half you've been hanging out with us. If you're looking to sponsor our show, if you're interested in sponsoring our show, contact Tony and I. You hit us up on the Dreamers by Design. Just drop us a message in a box and we'll get back to you and talk with you about it. But we're looking for sponsors just as well. But we thank you. Everybody's been out there watching our show, absolutely, enjoying us.
Thank you.
And we hope that our experiences and what we've shared is are helping you. Pretty soon, next show, we'll be opening some question and answer. So if you have any questions,
yes,
please put them in the post underneath this video. We'll be answering your questions on the next show so we can talk to you about it. And we'll also be opening up the ability to give us a call and talk to us live as well. Yeah. So we thank you very much for listening to us. I'm Michael Melvin.
This is Tony Wagner.
And you have been watching Dreamers by Design.